Good morning, church. First thing I must do is shut the door so it doesn't bother Arlene. Yes, ma'am. Turn on my light. Right here. That way it shines off of my head there. Oh, come on now. Come on now. I got some extra sun on it, so in Colorado I was closer to the sun. Probably looks a little bit better now. Okay, good morning. And the first thing that we want to do is to let you know that this will be the third week of praying for Danny's admittance to our elder team. I'm adding to that. We want you guys to be praying for that, reading relevant scripture, and submitting your concerns and or support about Danny being an elder, added to the eldership here, and sign your name on that. If you have anything to give, and give that to the elders. Next week, we'll be voting on whether or not Danny will be a part of our eldership. Also, I'm going to talk today a little bit about our Colorado trip. Not next week, but the week after, probably. The kids will do a full presentation. You'll get videos or pictures. And they'll do that. We got back from our peak trip last night at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, so we haven't had time to put anything together. I did want to bring to you some of the powerful goodness that I got from the trip. It's for the kids, but I think all of the adults, the sponsors, the pastors that went gained a lot too. Started off, every day we had two worship services, two times where we had preachers just breathing the Word of God into us. And then during the middle of the day when we were doing our activities, like every hour, a new sermon idea popped into my mind. So I've got a log of about 100 of them, and I couldn't decide what to discuss, so I'm just gonna tell you guys some of the stuff overall that God did through us on the trip. So let's pray first. Father God, we ask that you would guide us in a spirit of worship and a spirit of learning, of gaining wisdom from your word, God. I ask that as we share this together, this gathering in your name, that you will impart on us the wisdom that we can use outside of these doors, God, to have endurance, to fight for your purposes, God. We thank you for Jesus, for winning the final battle, God. We thank you for the assurance of hope of salvation that we have through Christ and what he did for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So, our peak trip, it's called peak because, of course, the mountaintops that we were hiking on, and also that means pursuing the eternal approval of the King, our King Jesus. So this is the peak trip, and it is in Colorado. Around the Divide area is where we camped. And it's a group of several churches that got together. You guys might know Luke Bycroft and Jared Ellis at Fellowship Regional Church in Iola. They're the ones who Luke puts this trip together. And we'd been invited to do it for several years now. We finally decided this year that we would be able to do that. And let me tell you, this trip that we took 9 children from our youth group on was physically and emotionally and spiritually demanding. The first thing that the leaders, the sponsors, the first thing we did was to remove the distractions that the kids had. Number one is the cell phone. Took all their cell phones, and right then and there, it set the stage for the physically and the emotionally demanding part. But after a period of a day or two, it was amazing to see what the kids traded for their screen time. They traded that for relationship, for actions, for card playing, for sports, for climbing up a mountain, for just sharing God's grace and goodness of life with each other. And it was so cool to see that. And we set up our tents that first night, and we bedded down to freeze inside of our sleeping bags. And we thought about our folks back here at Kansas that were probably hot, at least during the daytime, and went to bed, and then we got up on Sunday morning, just like you guys got up here to come to church last Sunday, except for we got in the van, and we drove high into a mountain about, it's probably 14,000 feet, this one that we drove up to, and we scattered the kids in a half circle on the side of this mountain, and the preacher who put it together, Luke, he got in front of us, and he started to preach the Word of God. And he spoke from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And I don't have the scripture on the screen because I didn't get time to put that there. But allow me to read to you Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. As He is reading this to us in this place called Cottonwood Pass. I'm not sure why, because there weren't any cottonwoods there. There were actually, the only trees there were about this big, it was almost above the tree. It's called Cottonwood Pass. And he tells us about this scripture, the difficulty that the kids are going to have for the rest of the week, and how that difficulty develops the endurance, and all they were about to need endurance. And the endurance, it produces strong character, and then the character builds the hope of salvation that they were about to get to hear about every single day, multiple times that day. And then Luke, he started preaching about things that we will encounter and we will have to push through. He mentioned that in the weight room in Iola, one of the gyms, I've never been there, maybe you can tell that, but there's a sign that says something like, at the first sign of discomfort, discontinue use of these weights. The first time you experience discomfort while you're lifting weights, discontinue, stop. And I mean, I think that that's probably good for them to have legally, right? So that they aren't liable to get hurt. That's probably what they have. But seriously, when you are lifting weights, do you stop if you get a little bit uncomfortable? You won't gain anything. I don't think that that is a good way to do anything. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, us as Christians, and maybe I'm not talking about anybody here, but I think overall Christians tend to do that. You know, we want to follow Jesus and we want to be Christians, but when we experience just a little bit of discomfort, we back off. A little bit easier that way. We don't have to continue to push to gain, we feel like, in our worldly minds. We'll just back off a little bit and discontinue use of our Christianity until it becomes more comfortable. But make no mistake, this is not the case at all if we are to be true Christians. God gives us work to do. He tells us to build His kingdom, that He is bringing His kingdom about, and we are to gain ground for His kingdom. We are to preach the gospel. We are to bring His message to people that are not comfortable for us to be around. We are not to discontinue use. As we sat there on the side of this mountain, we heard things about the difficulties in life, the struggles, and God's amazingness, how He created the mountains, how He created us, and He created us for a purpose. And the preacher told the children that they are going to sit through and hike through and push through some difficult things. And as he's preaching to us, behind him, kids could see, we could see, but he couldn't. Up over top of the mountain comes this ridiculously dark and huge cloud. Now, I don't know if you spend time in the mountains, but in Kansas, when a dark black cloud rolls up over the trees, you get kind of concerned. There's going to be lightning, there's going to be thunder, and there's going to be rain. It's going to set in for a couple days often, right? Storms. In the mountains, they don't last really long, but they're kind of a different animal. And this cloud gets closer and closer, and the kids are wide-eyed, and all of a sudden, ice starts to fall from the sky. It is like balls of soft ice, and then it's raining, freezing rain on this mountaintop. And the kids got a very physical image of what enduring, of what this discomfort is like. And it's just amazing that God would bring that about at the very time that the kids were hearing this message, that he would show his amazingness. We're about to find out that that happens often on the mountains in Colorado, about every afternoon, actually. It was just an amazing time to do that. When we're doing God's work, when we are pushing through, Jesus sets an example for us. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. Deny who we are wanting to be for ourselves and to put God's purposes first. To put Jesus' example first. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, we further read, Paul says, "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Suffer. As followers of Jesus Christ, we feel the power from God when we are close with him, right? And then we experience the suffering sometimes because of the world around us pushes in on us and challenges us, tempts us to give in at the first sign of discomfort. Paul says, look, everyone who wants to live a godly life, you will experience suffering. You will experience persecution. It's not easy. But we are called to push through it, called to endure it, because there is work that needs to be done, and there is a reward on the other side. John chapter 16, verse 33 also tells us Jesus' words, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." We have many sorrows, many trials, but take heart, Jesus says. Take heart. He has overcome the world. And as Luke was preaching to us on this mountainside, and the storm that came over, the kids, I feel like, began to settle into the realization of the grit that they were about to embrace. So what they were going to have to complete this whole week of struggle, of push. We started to gather together after we sung a few praises. And then we did a little bit of hiking. On that top of them, there was snow there. The kids played in the snow and made a snowman. There was a lot of rocks and not a lot of oxygen. It was difficult to hike. Even the vehicles have difficulty up there because there's not much oxygen. And when you get back to Kansas after being in Colorado for a while, it gets exciting as you're driving into Kansas and coming home, because inside your air conditioner car, you're getting that oxygen. You're like, man, I could run a mile, all this energy like this. And then you open the door and step out, and the humidity stomps it all out. But just the things that you have to overcome, such as the little bit of oxygen in the mountains, just pushed us to the point of realizing we are going to have to step up and become strong. It's all about endurance. We have to pace ourselves physically. As we hiked up the mountains, we couldn't just run up them. We had to take every foot step at its own time so that we could make it up to the top without having an injury. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that God has set before us." Paul uses this illustration of a race, of athleticism, often. And he tells us that we need to do it with endurance. And when we were climbing up mountains, you know, this scripture says that we need to strip off every weight that slows us down. Climbing up a mountain, you don't want to have extra weight. We lined all the kids up and we said, let's take everything out of your bag that you don't need to have. You need your water, a few other things. And the kids who didn't, quarter away up their mountain, they're thinking, man, I wish I could throw this, whatever it was, out, this extra book, or maybe the thing, the extra pair of shoes that I brought, just strip it off and leave it on the trail because it's getting heavy now. In our Christian lives, man, these things that Paul is telling us, strip off every weight that slows us down. How much better can we run this race with endurance if we would do that, especially the sin that trips us up? What an image. Tripping up over the sin in our lives. Climbing that mountain as if there's a stick in the way and you have your pace set and you trip over a stick and you fall. And you have to start over again, pull yourself up and start again with not much oxygen. Folks, Paul is serious about this. We are all sinners. We all struggle. We've read that in Scripture. None of us are perfect, but the more we strip off, the more temptation we overcome, the more baggage that we get rid of, the easier it is for us to run this race of endurance that Paul and that Christ is calling us to run. We are called to be athletes in our Christian faith. It's more like a marathon than a sprint. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 further illustrates this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." Climbing the mountain or living the Christian life, we have to have something to power us through the climb to get us to the top, to get us to that point of the peak where we are aiming to be. Now, I don't know how all the kids did it, but I know that myself, when I'm doing something physically hard, I have to condition my thoughts. I have to tell myself, okay, the end, you know, maybe working on a vehicle, I do that a lot. Working on a vehicle, at the end of this, when I'm done, when I push through this banged up knuckles and everything, then my vehicle will run and my wife will be happy. When you climb a mountain, when you're hiking up there, just grasping for the air that you can get, pushing through the pain in your legs, you tell yourself, at the top, it will be amazing, right? At the top, we will gather together and we'll celebrate the feat that we have just achieved. Paul says, fix your thoughts on these things. Fix your thoughts. This is how we can run our endurance marathon. By fixing our thoughts, conditioning our mind on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things, Paul says. They're excellent and worthy. And keep putting into practice these things that we learn from Paul, that we learn from Jesus. This is how we get to the peak of the mountain. This is how we get to our holy city in heaven. Now, the kids, the wonderful and amazing worship that they had there, the things that they learned was evident through their interaction with each other. We had challenges such as ropes course. We did whitewater rafting. And then we did more hiking. And then we ate some really good meals. And then we hiked again. And the small hill that led up to the bathhouse was sometimes more difficult than the mountaintops. I'm not quite sure why that was. We had to hike it every day. When we were hiking, like I said, the rain and the hail, they were normal things. And then we would drive to another place and get out and climb some more rocks, and then more rain and more hail. And the kids pushed themselves to do more than they were comfortable with. Perhaps the ones who were more physically fit, you know, we were concerned about some of the kids who weren't physically fit. But I almost think that it was more difficult for the ones who were physically fit. They had this mindset. This mountain, it ain't no big deal. I'm better off than the other guy. I'll run up this mountain. Well, obviously, you know that doesn't work. Paul tells us that doesn't work in a Christian life either, that we need to pace ourselves. It is endurance, an endurance game, a marathon. The ones who aren't humble, oh, that's a struggle. When you feel like you can just full force, like you've got it under control, you run out of energy. You run out of breath. You run out of fresh muscle. And then we aren't much good for climbing a mountain. And then we find ourselves not able to serve God in the way He needs us to. We work together as a team. We encourage each other. And we take orders from our book that God has given us. Point is that there's a reason to run this marathon. This marathon, this race that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells us in his final words, to preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Preach the word of God and be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. So I'm asking you in your life, is now the time that is favorable for you to preach the Word of God? Sharing the Word of God isn't just the job of a pastor or a radio guy who gives sermons. It's every one of our jobs. The last chapter of the book of Matthew tells us that we are to spread the Word of good news. We are to make disciples. And 2 Timothy here tells us to preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. If our kids felt that hill in that cold rain and decide it's not favorable to climb this mountain, then the leaders would have had problems. You know, what would we do? We couldn't just leave our kids at the bottom of the mountain. But we encouraged them, and they, through the encouragement of us, gained a spirit of endurance and started walking, started hiking up the mountains. They were prepared, and they realized that though the times were not favorable for hiking, that was what they had set out to do. And so they did. And the reward was amazing. This chapter also tells us that Jesus is coming to set up his kingdom. We are told in verse 2 that he will set up his kingdom when he comes. And we are told to preach this word. And this is how we further his kingdom, to be prepared for it in all times. Grit was one of the words that I used it once, but one of the preachers mentioned it. He said that we are going to gain grit on this trip. The kids, some of them didn't know exactly what grit was, and so he defined it. He says, this is what successful people have, grit. Again, that didn't really explain it too much, but then he further broke it down. He says, grit is the ability to accept extended or delayed gratification. Often, as people, we want instant gratification, right? But people who are successful, translate that into Christians who make it to the final finish line, Christians who bring others with them, accept delayed gratification. They're not in it for what's going to happen immediately. They're okay with living a whole life full of suffering and having to endure through sorrow and everything else because of the gratification that they will have, oh, someday when their race, their marathon, is done. Grit. Hiking a mountain. Paddling in a raft down the Whitewater River. The ability to get the gratification later on that's not instantly yours for the taking. Jesus says, take heart. Take heart. And he can say that. He has already overcome the world. Now, we didn't lose any kids on our trip. Why do you guys laugh? Do you think I would lose a kid? We didn't have any injuries, praise God. And we only got stuck once, and that was on the way home. No flat tires or anything like that. Lexi did lose her soul on the side of the mountain. Came right off of her boot. We were able to make it down, though. But at the end of this trip, I believe that our kids... And you'll get to hear from them in 2 weeks, the experience that they had. And I want to encourage any other high school kids, if you haven't, if you wanted to come this time, weren't able to, next year, I think it's going to be great. And anybody else who wants to be a sponsor. Jesus, as I said, has already won this world for us, but we need to do our part in creating an environment where others can come and learn about Jesus and intentionally going after them and not quitting at the first sign of discomfort and running this race like it's a marathon, not a sprint. Because our God is not only cool enough to make us, is not only amazing enough to create a world that we could live in and govern over, but he is powerful enough and amazing enough to give his son for us to have a way to leave an imperfect world to go into an absolutely amazing, perfectly built world, into heaven. We don't want to go there alone. We want to take everyone that we can. And that's my prayer for you guys today, that you would have the grit, would have the endurance, would have the stamina to push through every discomfort, to gain ground for God's kingdom, bringing people with us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Son, for the example that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for mountains that the children could hike up and learn about you and your powerful goodness. God, I thank you for these people here today. I ask that your Holy Spirit would empower us all to do your work. I thank you for your grace and mercy. God, I ask your help to strip off everything that holds us down, that keeps us from getting to the place, God, that you want us to be. Lord, I ask if there's anyone here today that is in need of you, God, that you would work in their lives. Show them your power and your love and your grace and mercy. And God, through us as a family, the body of Christ, God, that you would help us to share your love together and put that as the most important thing, the love that you give to us. Lord Jesus, it's in your holy, wonderful name that I pray. Amen.